Good afternoon, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Even before the coronavirus hit, agriculture was already dealing with a challenging economy. According to Bell Bank Senior Vice President Lynn Paulson, farm program payments like the Market Facilitation Program and WIP Plus did help the balance sheet.
You know, and most of the folks that made money, their margins were the WIP payments or the MFP payments. So going in and you know, there was some optimism even with respect to, you know, some of the trade deals and you know, what potential commodity prices might be. So while it wasn't, you know, a super rosy picture out there, we were thinking that maybe we had, you know, found the bottom and are slowly working our way back.
There's a lot of uncertainty with the coronavirus pandemic, which has been tough on the commodity markets. Paulson says it's like throwing a rock in the center of a pond.
And the ripples just keep going further and further out and affecting more and more people and just about every economic sector of the country being impacted. The stay-at-home order and 70% less driving in the ethanol, you know, 70% less ethanol and potentially taking out 2.5 billion bushels of corn if that happens and what that's done. We projected prices when we did loan renewals of maybe, you know, north of, you know, $3.25, $3.50, whatever. And obviously that's way, way less right now. So if we go in and stress test some of those loans right now and take corn down by 50, 60, 70 cents a bushel along with the beans, the positive cash flow margin that it shows at the time of renewal simply isn't there now.
The latest U.S. corn balance sheets estimating an increase in stocks, World Ag Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski explains.
There really is a lot going on here this month, and it's driven almost entirely by the big reduction that we've seen in ethanol production and therefore corn use for ethanol.
And USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson says less ethanol production is expected because of the lower gasoline sales forecast.
The ethanol grind is down by almost 375 million bushels. Similarly, we know that exports are coming under a little bit of pressure based on the coronavirus, and that's across all commodities. We did see a drop in price at the midpoint for corn at 20 cents down to 360 a bushel now expected for the 2019 and 2020 crop.
Ethanol margins remain extremely poor, with RBOB gasoline prices continuing to trade at a discount to ethanol prices. Kleist Commodities market analyst Jacob Burke says the ethanol market has been severely scarred.
And there's still some mandates that it has to, you know, they have to be used. So I think it's kind of found a comfort zone, it looks like. But if you look at just, you know, the RBOBs actually had a little bit of recovery here in the last month. I mean, we went down, took a lot out in the middle of March, and it's actually had an upward trend here for about 30 days now. So, you know, the ethanol, you know, actual price of the ethanol.
Burks thinks the reduced availability of distillers' grains could also impact the number of cattle on feed.
You know, the biggest fear now that you're looking at the grains, how do we maintain livestock as opposed to keep them, pushing them to finish? And if you start backing off on some of these feed rations, that could be, you know, detrimental to even our feed numbers going into that next report, too.
Van On & Company analyst Christy Van On says a concern over packing plant closures is weighing in on the livestock markets.
It actually was quite surprising to see how it opened. So shortly before they opened, the bid was actually expanded limits lower on cattle markets and then ended up opening a little bit higher, and now they're kind of succumbing to that pressure here. But overall, you're just having that negative news about packing plants being shut down and what's to come when it comes there, your disruption to the supply chain.
South Dakota State University Extension swine specialist Bob Toller says the closing of the Sioux Falls Smithfield plant has a big impact.
We need to focus on the human side. You know, they need to make sure the people in the plant and their families are safe, and we understand that part of it. But it does make a huge difference on pork producers and their families as well, and especially at a time when they've been, I mean, let's face it, the last few years in agriculture and animal agriculture haven't been great. And so they're already under a lot of stress, and now with this hitting, that's having a big impact on marketing and marketing decisions.
Toller says pork production is different from raising other livestock because there is a sense of urgency for getting these hogs to market.
You can hold cattle a little bit longer, but due to pig flow and scheduling facilities, most or a lot of operations don't be empty. It's got to be empty because next week a new group of pigs are coming in. So that really does create a huge burden. What do you do? Some of the packing plants have been really good about trying to take the extra ones, again, to help producers, help animal well-being, but there's only so many pigs they can take.
Demand for end-cut meats like chuck and round cuts has been lower in recent years for consumers under 30 years old. However, procurement strategies owner Kevin Bost knows recent increased demand for those cuts to grind into lean beef. This has been of significant export interest to
China. This is the main item that China's in the market for, are these items right here. That is going to make a big difference in the beef market and shake it up quite a bit in 2020. Not only that, a lot of the bacon and a lot of the ham that's sold in this country is also moved through the restaurant sector. There's lots of evidence that consumer-level demand for bacon is still going up.
House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue this morning, urging the administration to purchase excess ag products during the coronavirus. In the letter, Peterson said purchases by the USDA can help ensure the food made available to the nation's food banks. Peterson said he would also work with Perdue if Perdue needs more legislative tools moving forward. A friendly reminder, go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and listen to podcasts and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's all at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Legislature is back in St. Paul today for another one-day session. Lawmakers are working on a limited schedule due to coronavirus and the stay-at-home protocols. Senate Agriculture, Rural Development, and Housing Finance Chair Tori Westrum speaks to some of the agriculture provisions being considered.
Livestock processing plants are having a glut of food with all the restaurants and schools shut down here in Minnesota. They're getting excess supply, and this would be money that they could help purchase some of those products at a better than normal rate, help repackage that, and help residents that are in need of some assistance from the food shelf. And so that's a $1.25 million supplemental appropriation, along with money that some of that money would also be used to buy some of the excess capacity of milk.
Westrum says there is also an agreement to extend the farmer lender mediation program.
The last month or so, mediators and farmers and lenders haven't been able to meet and get together to mediate their situation and restructuring of their farm loan that's probably in default or needing to have alternatives found to make the loan and the lender and the farmer arrangement work. And so those mediations will be extended by 60 days in the legislation that we're passing here today for COVID-19 here in Minnesota.
The House was in session this morning. Senate goes into session this afternoon at 2. Westrum says voting will look different today, with 4 to 5 senators voting in different rooms.
Ag Country Farm Credit Services now has access to the Small Business Administration's portal to administer the Paycheck Protection Program loans. Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs, Howard Olson, explains.
We have a link to the applications on agcountry.com on our COVID-19 resource page. So we're encouraging farmers to download it, fill it out, and send it in to their local Ag Country office or loan officer. And, of course, they'll need to also include their 2019 tax forms that provide the documentation to support the payroll or the net income and their loan amount.
Olson says the funds are going quickly. If a farmer wants to apply, they should do that soon.
Reading in the news this morning is that they expect that by Friday the funding will be used up. So farmers do need to get applications in just as soon as they can. I think one other area where there's been some confusion, I've heard a few farmers have say, well, if I don't have any hired help, if I don't have any payroll, then I'm not eligible, right? Well, no, that's not correct. They are eligible, and self-employed farmers can use their net income from their Schedule F. Use that, and the net income allows them to be eligible for the loan and use that to establish their loan amount.
More information can be found on the COVID-19 resource page found at eggcountry.com.
46% of the sugar beets are planted in Idaho, up from 34% for the five-year average. That, according to the USDA. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says it also warmed up in Michigan, enough to get 12% of sugar beets into the ground.
Our first look at the sugar beet planting progress for the week ending April 12th, indicating, not unexpectedly, no progress for the second consecutive year in the Red River Valley region. No sugar beets have yet been planted in Minnesota and North Dakota. Same as 2019, five-year averages, 7% for that date in Minnesota, 5% in North Dakota.
Nationwide, corn planting progress is ahead of schedule in places, but behind schedule in others.
U.S. corn, 3% of the intended acreage planted by April 12th. That's just one percentage point behind the five-year average. And it puts us at the same place we were last year when we saw increasingly slow conditions as the spring wore on and wetness intensified. The state with the greatest planting progress is Missouri, just 4% planted. Five-year average there is 11%.
Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcast. You can listen at rrfn.com, Spotify, Amazon Alexa, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Egypt's state grain buyer bought 120,000 tons of Russian wheat in its latest tender. The deal consists of two separate 60,000-ton cargoes for May and for June delivery. Purchase comes after Egypt's state grain buyer canceled a tender earlier this month without explanation shortly after issuing it.
There are some supply chain disruptions happening in agriculture. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says employee safety should be a high priority for packing plants, and at the same time, it's important to watch for market manipulation.
In a letter earlier this month, I asked USDA to look into the potential market manipulations by beet packers, and I'm pleased that last week Secretary Perdue announced an investigation. USDA must quickly look into this matter. We can't have packing margins skyrocket every time that there's a market disruption. And usually the consumer isn't helped when the price of products go down to the farmer.
JBS is closing its Greeley, Colorado beef packing plant until April 24th after more than before the coronavirus. The facility will wind down operations in the next 2 days to ensure existing product in the facility can be used. According to the company, this is the second JBS plant to temporarily close. Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat down 6 1/4 at 5.21 1/4. May Chicago wheat down 7 at 5.48. May Kansas City wheat 10 at 4.84. May corn down 4 3/4 at 3.26 3/4. December corn down 3 1/4 at 3.46 1/2. May soybeans down 6 1/2 at 8.47 3/4. November beans 5 3/4 at 8.64 3/4. June live cattle up $3.35, rather $3.40 at $84.77. May feeder cattle up 67 cents at $115.12. May lean hogs down $1.62 at $38.05. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.